Welcome. Here, you will hear stories of the unknown, tales of the twisted and terrible that have been silenced. The strange and the transcendent, riddles, secrets. As your guides, we will take you on an expedition where the curtain between worlds is torn. This is The Farthest Reaches.
Welcome to TFR, The Farthest Reaches. I am Matthew, and here with me is Josh.
Hello.
And Cassandra.
Hi.
How you all doing out there? We hope you're doing great. Today, we are talking about Skinwalker Ranch. Still.
Again.
Part what, Cassandra?
Three? Trace.
Yes. Part three. Thank you. Thank you. Stop.
The fuck you calling?
Set.
Did you call him a twat?
Trace.
So today we are talking about Skinwalker Ranch again, part three.
Dibs.
This will be the.
What'd you say?
This will be you. Shush. Spoilers. This will be the last entry into our series here. She's literally making that noise while smiling. Oh shit! I didn't change the sign. Hurry, Josh.
That's why I don't know what we're doing. Hurry, faster.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Skinwalker Ranch part three. I say we go ahead and get into it. Now, you know what? Pop quiz.
Popcorn.
Cassandra, what did we leave off with in the past episode?
We talked about the cows and the dogs turning into soup.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last thing I remember.
I knew you'd remember.
That's the last thing I remember.
She's like, how could I forget all
this
crazy
stuff? Wait, the dog soup isn't the end?
No,
it was close. You literally cannot expect me to remember what the fuck we talked about last time.
Yeah.
I cannot do that.
God damn.
I have a very poor memory of recent events.
Same.
I can remember, I
remember shit for an episode. As soon as we end, it's just all gone.
Literally.
Wow, all my hard work.
But yeah, I can probably tell you, my favorite Barney song when I was six, but I cannot tell you what we talked about last time.
That's ingrained in you at this point.
I know, but that's what I'm...
Like Mean Girls.
My brain doesn't have any more room for stuff, so everything past the age of 12 just goes away.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Who are you?
Okay, so when we last talked, Skinwalker Ranch Part 2, we talked about a lot of the main incidents that happened on Skinwalker Ranch when Terry and Gwen Sherman occupied it.
Or the Gormans,
according to the book Hunt for the Skinwalker. We had the dogs that turned to soup. We had a bunch of cattle mutilations, one or two or so, that his son in the book, Tad, had came across, had
doors
plenty of
opening,
orbs,
things
the orange
going
structures,
missing.
The sky blood hole and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, those creepy guys with, the van that, hovered over the fence and stuff.
Yeah. The strange... UFOs, technically.
The meditating man.
Oh, yeah, that weird fucker.
That was practically what we ended with, was the predator-like creature.
I just don't remember the sequence of events.
Yeah. I was kind of in the same boat with her.
Yeah,
I don't remember which one we ended off of.
I mean, technically, when I read it, I didn't even have a sequence.
The
very ending of
what
that episode.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I've heard that word before. I can't remember what it... What is he saying?
NID. NID.
Yeah, isn't that an acronym for something?
Huh?
What's it stand for?
You'll find out.
We'll get there. Well, I mean, I mentioned the last episode.
Ha, huh, funny.
Ha. So, I left off part two with Terry publishing an article in the Deseret News asking for help, saying that he just wants this shit to stop. And it wasn't long before he got the meditating man. From the predator creature, he got some...
I must meditate on your land.
Yeah. No!
Apparently. And then just get the shit scared out of him.
Yeah.
And he was like, fuck this. This is cursed.
Yeah.
He had some UFO investigators come his way, but he just pushed them away. He's like, no, I don't want you here. Don't come near. He actually did have an incident where a woman let herself onto the property, literally just opened the gate herself, just drove up to Homestead 1, got out of the car, and Terry was there waiting on her, basically, just wondering who the hell she was. And she even claimed to him, I'm very mentally ill.
And we love a self-aware queen.
And and as she's talking to Terry about God knows what, one of the trees nearby just starts violently shaking.
Ew.
And before she, well, she gets scared from this, but before she leaves, she points at it with her crooked little finger, and she's just like, this place is filled with demons. And he gets in her car and fucking leaves. Mm. And Terry's probably thinking to himself, I know.
Yeah.
Not tell me anything new.
Yeah. She probably put them there.
Yeah, she might have. Josh, do you by chance remember a listener tale from Benjamin and how he had an incident where he was near one of his trees?
Benjamin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it just started violently shaking.
Oh, yeah, because the ghost squirrels.
And the ghost squirrels. Exactly. Yeah. And there was no wind, just like this incident. There was absolutely no wind. But he said it was kind of terrifying, and he had absolutely no idea what it was.
What if it's like that movie? Is it The Happening, where the trees are what make everybody kill themselves? And like they like
plants, basically,
admit, just yeah,
like flora.
What if they're like becoming aware of us?
Oh no!
And trying to scare us off, and that's the first step. And then we don't go away; they're gonna take us out.
At least becoming aware at Skinwalker Ranch. That's okay, because that's thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away from me. So I'm all right for right now.
Okay.
After the mentally ill woman had came and gone. And the UFO researchers that came and gone. There was a certain individual that made an appearance and actually would stick around for quite some time. And his name is Robert Bigelow. And I'm sure Josh knows about him, but I'm sure you don't, Cassandra. So Robert Bigelow, he is an American businessman.
Is he a European gigolo?
Oh my God.
I thought the same thing.
Well, his name is Robert. Short can be for Rob, like Rob Schneider, and he was Gigolo. Oh, see, look, connections. Here we go. Have you ever seen those movies?
Mm-mm, but I know of them.
They're fantastic.
Okay.
There's a woman that has a dick as a nose, and she's
of course you like that.
And she sneezes.
Would you suck her nose?
She sneezes, and her fucking load goes into a guy's soup at dinner.
That's disgusting. Would you eat that
so
soup?
Funny.
He'd still eat the soup.
No, fuck no, I would not. So, Robert Bigelow, an American businessman, he actually owns a hotel chain of Budget Suites of America, and he's the founder of Bigelow Aerospace. Mm-hmm. Bigelow has used his wealth to provide financial support for investigations of UFOs and parapsychological topics, including the continuation of consciousness after death. And in June of 2020, so...
Recently. Literally a year ago.
Yeah. Bigelow founded the Bigelow Institute for Consciousness Studies to support investigations into life after death. And in January of 2021, he even put up an award of $1 million for anyone who could demonstrate the existence of a life after death. And he was actually on Joe Rogan talking about it and how he has a panel full of, I think, six judges, and he has all sorts of credible people. I'm not sure if the astrophysicist or whomever was on this board, but yeah, people just write in an essay that can be no more than like 50 pages long, and I guess if somehow they can demonstrate life after death, and they get $1 million. I find me personally, Bigelow, to be a pretty decent guy. I think he, now people think he's in with the government and he's just kind of one of them, and I believe he's just a guy that's very genuinely interested in UFOs, because he is someone who has put probably the most money into actually investigating UFOs and other paranormal studies, like I just mentioned. And I will talk about it a little bit later.
Just on the ranch or in general?
Well, it started, I believe, with the ranch, but then it moved to other fields. So what I found here is that at the age of 12, Bigelow decided that his future would lay in space travel. So despite his limitations in mathematics, as it states here simply on Wikipedia, and he resolved to choose a career that would make him rich enough that one day he could hire the scientific expertise required to launch his own space program. So he had a plan. So he had a fucking dream, and he fucking crushed it, man. He just went for it. But he literally just wanted to find something to easily get him rich. That way he could do what he truly wanted and launch his own space program, which he does.
What made him easily rich? What made him rich?
Being a... American businessman with the Budget and Suites.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Budget Suites of America. But I mean, hey, it worked. Now he's a billionaire. In 2011, he was estimated to be about, I think, $1 billion.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so,
his net worth.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like a $700 million, but like at that time, now it's, I think, about $1 billion. So yeah, he had a dream and he just went for it and he did it. So go him. But he was able to conduct a bunch of research into the paranormal with his money. He tried to get multiple like factions, multiple UFO organizations to work together. I don't remember all the entities' names. maybe it was partly MUFON. I think KUFOS and FUFOR and all these incredible acronyms. But he just wanted them to work together, and it just didn't pan out. They, I assume, simply just on people's pride and their ego. They're like, no, I can't work with this guy. X, Y, and Z, whatever. So what he did is he took it into his own hands to form his own private organization.
NIDS.
Called NIDS.
The National Institute for Discovery Science.
Boom. There
Why
we go.
Why were you laughing like it was some like dirty joke, inside joke when I didn't know what it was? You're like, you finger.
I think it was just laughing just because of how I just kept randomly saying it.
Oh. Yeah, literally just that. And the fact it's called NIDS.
NIDS.
What's so funny about that?
Really? You don't find NIDS a kind of a funny sounding acronym?
No.
Seriously, I'm like alone in this boat?
Yeah. If it was like Skid Mark, that'd be funny.
What the fuck? Okay.
But just NIDS. That's not funny. That doesn't sound funny to me.
So we don't know very many people on this team. There have been a few that have come out. I think Eric Davis is one. Colm Kelleher, who co-authored the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, where we get much of this material, he was on the team as well. I think Chris Marks has came out. You can find a podcast. I think it's called UFO Declassified with Erica Lukes. And she has Chris Marks on from time to time, and he discusses his time being on NIDS and living on the ranch for like 9 years, or excuse me, being with NIDS for 9 years and living on the ranch, I think, for six, and the stuff they tried to do and the experiments and research they tried to conduct. But he had some pretty credible people on this team, and he gave them anything they wanted to conduct, because he loved paranormal, to conduct research on this ranch. He had heard about it. He had come up to Terry, and before that day was over, he had bought the ranch from Terry for $200,000.
What a steal.
Back in the day, in what, 94 when he bought it, that was probably a pretty damn good chunk of money. I mean, to me, that's a good chunk of money right now. But after he bought it from Terry, then he took his NIDS scientist and had them come on the ranch. You know, if he didn't have to stay on the ranch the entire time, they could go to Las Vegas, where I think their kind of like headquarters was. And he had his private plane that the NIDS scientist could use, you know, to travel to and fro. If something was to happen and was reported, they could be on the plane and out there in less than an hour. I actually think I heard a story of what got him into the aspect of like ghosts kind of paranormal is I think his son and grandson passed away pretty young, 22, something like that. Maybe his son, and then maybe the grandson, a little younger, a little older or so. But I think
maybe he was like looking for a way to communicate.
I really do. I really think that's part of it. And that just makes him feel that much more wholesome and me kind of like the guy, to be honest. But after he had met Terry and he had bought the ranch and he had his group of scientists and he's going to put his money to use and any and all resources he had, by 1996, NIDS have come onto the ranch. And they will be there.
Sounds like an invasion of like some kind of
nematodes.
Some kind of like insects.
It does.
They come and just like eat the entire Krusty Krab.
I mean, NIDS does not sound pleasant. You tell someone that, like, oh yeah, I got NIDS coming or something. I just start itching.
Or like
what
the suds.
Fuck are you talking about? Like SpongeBob?
Yeah, like the suds.
The suds, it gets real sick.
I got the suds.
Yeah. Well, you're all SpongeBob. Suds and nematodes and
that's all there is to life, baby. SpongeBob and nothing.
Just
else.
Give it to me straight, Doctor. I'm sorry. You've got the NIDS.
Oh, no.
The treatment is like a fucking sponge in the shower with that nasty hairy guy.
Oh, no.
It's like, how do I get rid of this?
You're not going to like it.
Bukkake.
Then he gets like his lollipop at the end, doesn't he, right?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I've got terminal NIDS.
All right, so.
Maybe it's funny to you because it sounds like NADS, which is like your balls. Maybe that's why you,
thank you
are
for that.
Laughing.
Thank you for that explanation.
Like maybe that's why it's so close to.
I'm going with
you
it.
You men are so
going
simple to to pin down, you know.
Just change the vowel. Nids. And yeah, that's kind of funny. Nods, stupid. Nuds, I like that.
Nuds. Well, like that. It reminds me of Milk Duds.
National University of Discovery Science. Man, Robert, Bobby, you missed something there, buddy.
Could you imagine Nuds being like, oh, I'm in college. And like, oh, where do you go? Nuds.
I'm sorry, could you come again? Could you speak into this microphone? So, to start things off for the research team of NIDS, September of 1996. So, shortly after the first few scientists, Colm Kelleher, and then a physicist and veterinarian that do not want to be named, they came onto the land and they performed simple tests, like geological surveys, magnetic readings for any possible natural anomalies that could help explain the phenomena. And like Josh had stated, either part one or part two, about testing for hallucinogenic properties in the flora. I actually think I said fauna back in part one or two.
Wow, dummy.
I'm so stupid. Yeah, God, I think I'm such a nuds.
I say they checked everything from like the water supply to the plants around just to make sure nothing was like in the air or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And it all came back negative. Yep. They couldn't find anything with their instrumentation at the time, their capabilities of researching at least, couldn't find anything with the land that could prove to be any inducing elements of this phenomenon.
This ain't no Flint, Michigan.
Oh, they all have the NIDS, that's for sure. Poor people. For a while, nothing was seen or heard on the ranch except for a couple orbs of light that were either too fast to be captured on film or they just weren't significant enough to be labeled as proof once the film had been developed and reviewed. Like the one ball light that looked like a distant star that I mentioned in, I think, a part two. Months had passed with no activity occurring, and there were even a few cattle mutilations, but none of them were severe enough to actually kill the cow. I think one had its ear snipped, one had a strange kind of like hole burrowed into its, like, around its eyebrow maybe, but the animals were alive, thankfully. But then came March 10th of 1997. The activity decided to show itself in all of its horrified glory. Terry and Gwen were checking on the cattle, and amongst the cattle was a cow and her newborn calf.
The Shermans. Is the baby okay? Is the baby
one
okay?
One more time, Josh. I just didn't get. Okay.
That sounds like me snoring.
Now I feel like I'm. It does!
It sounds like me snoring.
God, it feels like I'm in a farm now.
Yeah.
So the Shermans then went to attend other needs for about 40 minutes and only a couple of hundred yards away. And I made sure to put in parentheses here, sexy sex boing boing. Because I just think about sex. I think they went 40 minutes away, or 40 minutes away, a couple hundred yards away to have sex. That's what I think that happened. Nothing? Okay, when they returned, they found the environment to be speechless. Just like you two, right the fuck now.
I'm going to go upstairs and play Beat Saber.
Matthew.
But then you look at me like I'm a dumbass when I make a joke that's...
Oh. It felt right.
Yeah, no, it was wrong. It did not feel right over here.
Apparently, it was horribly wrong. Satan's down there like, two strikes, man, one more, I'm coming to get you. So, when they returned, they found the environment to be speechless, as the scene portrayed was so gruesome that all knowledge and ability of thought and rationalization had departed one's mind. The mother of the calf was limping, as if it had been attacked. But the newborn suffered a fate much worse. The baby cow looked as if it had been dismembered, ripped apart even, and completely scooped clean. Three of its legs were splayed out on the grass, seemingly in the fashion that represented a presentation to someone. Its fourth leg was laying further away in the grass, clear from any surroundings. The body of the calf was torn open with all of its insides missing, and the only thing remaining was the broken bones of what was once its rib cage. The calf even had part of its ear removed by a very sharp object. Now, despite all this carnage, there wasn't a single drop of blood anywhere.
Why'd you let me be on this episode?
Terry called Colm, who brought some fellow scientists to the scene, and it was in fact documented by NIDS. However, March 10th was not done with the Shermans and NIDS scientists just yet. Around 11 p.m. that night, don't worry, this isn't going to be bad. This isn't about cows now. Around 11 p.m. that night, Colm and Terry heard Terry's dog start to bark at something off in the distance. So Colm and Terry quickly hopped into Terry's truck. Go ahead, Josh.
Woof, woof, woof.
Now Calm and Terry quickly hopped into Terry's truck. They sped off and soon came across something strange.
What the fuck is that?
Beneath a tree, like hiding in the shadows. Beneath a tree, hiding in the shadows, was a large silhouette of something. Suddenly,
can't do a sound it effect. Feels like someone is trying to sell me something.
I was gonna say I can't do a sound effect.
I told you he was on us.
Suddenly, two orbs of light appeared in the branches above the creature.
Hello, I'm an orb of light.
Wow. I was really thinking like a lightsaber effect, like whoom, whoom, or something. But no, the orb just talks.
Why don't you give us your sound effects, Matthew?
Yeah.
I'm not here for that. I'm here to read my beautiful outline.
No, I was responsible for the sound effect.
It's kind of one of those deals where it's like, you show me you have the capability of doing it. I'm like, you know what? You can do that. Just like when you get abused
now
at work.
Now you're taken advantage of, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is work. This is your side hustle. I can abuse you.
I'm not getting paid. A side hustle entails that I get money. I am not getting money.
Love is money. Listenership.
I can't go buy
our listenership
shoes
is,
with love.
Is quote unquote money because it makes us feel good. Like money makes us feel good, right?
Yes.
Thank
you. Do you know what good feels like?
I'm moving on. As the trio got closer to the creature, Terry pulled out his gun as he seemed like he was just itching to shoot something.
Like always.
Terry took the shot.
Same Terry.
Josh, this is your point. Terry took the shot.
Bang!
The orb has instantly vanished, and he said he saw...
Oh, God, I burped.
The beast hit the ground. He got back into his truck and drove closer to the wounded beast. As they arrived, they saw nothing there. No blood, no monster, nothing. Then, Terry Testicle saw something else out of the corner of his eye. A different creature perched in the branches. Without hesitation, Terry fired twice.
Kapow!
Sure, he was sure that he hit the animal. What'd you say, kapow?
Yeah.
But once they investigated the spot where the creature had once been, they soon discovered there was nothing to show for it except a print in the snow.
It's Jesus.
An oval print with two quote-unquote talons, if you will, protruding from the back of its foot like a bird of prey.
Anti-Jesus.
They soon found another print 20 feet away, but that was it. Nothing more. And it was snowing at this time, so they couldn't take any plasters of the print, any cast of the print.
Thunder?
Mm-hmm.
Damn,
I could hear that through these headphones.
I know, I thought something
adding
like had
the
made
ambience
a
supposed
sound
to be like
scary.
Noise cancellation. So the two creatures that Terry Testicle shot at wouldn't be the only mysterious beast seen on the property. Later, during the NID's 8-year investigation, Terry and Gwen were out on their property when they noticed a big dust cloud coming from the corral where they kept some horses and cows. However, there was something else amongst the animals.
Oh my God, it's the Tasmanian devil.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine that
the
shit?
The Roadrunner. Me, me.
It's just a
no
whole bunch of,
never catch it.
Say, it's just a whole bunch of fucking,
you know,
Warner Brothers, like fucking like Looney Tunes characters.
Fucking Pinky and the Brain over there. What the fuck you guys doing here?
I love them.
Okay, so at first, all Terry and Gwen could make out was a reddish-brown blur. But as they approached the corral,
that sounds like Bigfoot.
A creature unknown to nature seemed to emerge. This amalgamation of a creature was said to be huge and very muscular. It had a big, bushy tail. The face and movement resembled a dog or hyena. It had short, stubby legs like a pig or a boar. But when they got close enough, the beast ran off through the metal bars in the corral and up over a slope nearby.
I was going to say it was you, and then you said muscular.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait, never mind.
I felt that, too, and yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, shut you down. Fucking shut you down. Once Terry had reached the slope,
he acts like he's like, gotcha.
Was going, I did, because I did get you.
Because I don't have muscles, goddammit.
Hell yeah. Others had reported seeing that creature as well. So Terry and Gwen were not alone. So after this, at some point during the investigation, there was a flock
seagulls?
Of...
and I read...
Oh my God, look, a flock of seagulls. And the dust clears and it's just them on the keyboard.
That is them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think I've said this joke before, but it's the one music video where the keyboardist holds a note out so long he has to switch hands. Play the same note,
oh,
but switch hands. You can see it in the video.
And I ran so far away.
But Matt would get wheezy.
Don't know that Lex line. Beep, 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 beep. As Terry and Gwen are like, damn, they're here again. With their fucking hair.
Oh, the fucking, like.
Oh, can we do that for Halloween? Can we put our hair like that?
Flock of seagulls? Yeah.
Did you say a bunch of flock of seagulls? It's just a flock, dude.
Flock of fling.
Thanks for the input.
No problem.
So they would see a flock of what looked to be red tropical birds that appeared on the branch.
Whoa.
Never seen
in
them
the
before.
In the middle of fucking Utah.
In the middle of fucking Utah. And I believe it was the summer. So they're like, what the fuck are those? And just as soon as they came, they left. They were gone. Now, Cassandra, you're going to love this.
Did you fucking hit my microphone?
Yeah, I tried to hit your arm. Oh. Next came the infestation of giant spiders.
Yep.
Hey, that spider web's still outside, bitch.
Yeah, so, just imagine that. Like, it goes from an infestation, or I guess I shouldn't say infestation, but like
a swarm.
A swarm of fucking tropical birds. They go away, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, now the spiders are here.
I would pass away.
Now, it doesn't specifically detail how giant they are.
That's why I never want to go to Australia. They legit have spider season.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and they were having a spider apocalypse like a few weeks ago.
Fucking just like webs everywhere.
I would
fucking.
I would.
Like, I think it looks
die.
Cool as shit, but I'm like, do I want to be near that?
I can't even look at those pictures without wanting to gag. Like, it just absolutely disgusts me.
I mean, I can get behind that. I can understand it. It
freaks me out so bad.
But I even wrote here my outline after then came the infestation of giant spiders. I was like, oh, did you hear that? Cassandra died.
You wrote that? I did just say I passed
hear
away.
That? Cassandra just died.
I will pass away.
Wow, you know Nostradamus?
In the flesh, buddy. Not muscles. We already determined that. But hey, here we are.
How do you explain your failure of 2012?
That wasn't me, actually. I plagiarized that from another guy.
Oh, good cover.
Thank you. But just like the birds, the anomalous arachnids just disappeared. They were gone. Peep! They were gone.
Can't they all just go beep?
That's what happens when you disappear. Peep! It makes that noise.
Why didn't they all make that noise in Avengers Endgame? Infinity War. That's Spider-Man. What should have happened.
Spider-Man, I don't feel too good.
Peep! Black Panther, this is no place to die.
And then the girl's like, that was annoying. So even though many of the sightings and encounters happened to the Shermans, the NID scientists and researchers did in fact have some unexplainable events happen to themselves as well. Colm Kelleher, again the co-author of Hunt for the Skinwalker, remembers encountering an orb of light that flew right up to him, feet from his face. And when he went to shine his light on it, it simply vanished. Practically just like the one that happened to Gwen when she tried to shine her light on it.
Goddamn Tinkerbell.
Another account is from an unnamed NID scientist that saw a huge black mass through his binoculars. And it was so big, in fact, that it quote-unquote blocked out some of the stars. And while looking at this huge black
wiener
thing, what is wrong with you? The NID scientist was attacked. But
by a wiener?
Big cosmic cock. But he was not.
Big cosmic brownie.
I think at this moment right here that we've been together, that is the happiest I've ever seen you.
I love picking out the colorful chocolate chips and eating
like your
them first.
Like your smile reached the size of the Joker's without having to be cut. Like you were good.
Wow. Like you are the embodiment of somebody that is stoned out of their mind, but I know you're not.
I'm
right now.
So sober.
If she could right now, she'd be peep.
To the big giant cosmic brownie in the sky. That's where I want to go when I die.
So you gotta go to the sky.
Put that on my tombstone, please.
Yeah, but see, in order to get there,
I'm floating on the big cosmic brownie.
But see, in order to get there, you have to ride the cosmic interstellar sea eagle through the sky butthole to get to the cosmic brownie.
That's totally fine with me.
Seems doable. But this NID scientist, he was not attacked in the traditional sense of attack. Mm-hmm. No, he was attacked mentally through psychic means. And the ominous voice said, "We are watching you.
This is creepy.
We are watching you."
Oh, yeah, no, not a fan.
"We are watching you."
Can you stop making that face?
Over and over again. And so the NID scientist, you know, of course went, uh-huh.
That's everyone what he does. That's,
yeah. Wait, did he like scream like "they're in my head" or some shit? Like "they're in my head, they're
I'm
in
sure
my
he
head."
Did. I'm sure he did. That's what I would do.
But, oh my god, that's why you need a tinfoil hat.
But, can you imagine that? Just like being out there and just all of a sudden just hearing in your head, just "we are watching you."
He's like, "they're in my head, they're in my head." And the other scientist looking at him goes, "I know, me too, man." He's like, Ran so far away. So Terry and Gwen were now outside one day watching their cattle. They noticed that the cows started to act strange. So strange, in fact, that the cattle were running around as if being herded by something unknown.
An invisible, like an invisible dog.
Exactly, an invisible sheepdog. Now, this type of behavior, Terry had seen before. He was no stranger to it, for he knew a way to track it. Terry could use his compass to track whatever this unseen force was, because it almost seemed to be magnetic. Mm. In a sense that, like, a compass points magnetic north, but this compass was not pointing magnetic north. They would point to whatever that object was, or whatever that invisible force was.
The entity.
So he pulled it out and he watched this compass follow whatever it was around the cattle. And to his amazement, Terry watched as the cows would avoid this thing. And they would even walk around it, whatever it was. Whatever his compass was pointing at, the cows would just seem to walk around. I'm almost imagining like a kind of like a circle pit, like at a show. They just kind of walk around like, what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. There's even a point where this thing would even walk like, or would move towards the cows, and the cows would split into two groups, like to let it go by. And then it eventually, it seemed to just wander off into the tree line, the nearest tree line.
It's
and then
the his compass, Moses of orbs. Mm-hmm.
And then his compass just went back to normal, pointing magnetic north. No idea what that was. So
it's
moving
like
on.
Ron and Harry and the underneath the invisible cloak. Just fucking.
Well, if the government is trying to make an invisibility cloak, what if that was it?
Really?
Yeah.
Why would they be super cool? Magnetic, though?
I don't know. Maybe they're holding really strong magnets.
Whatever they're using for the cloak might be. I don't know. I'm not
in it. It's magic, Josh.
Come on, Josh.
Oh, fuck it. I'm sorry.
You know what, Josh? You're gone. You're fucking out of here.
Fucking thank God.
I said you're out of here.
Do we have like an eject button? Just shoots him through the ceiling.
Josh Burton in memoriam. 90.
May you rest in peace on the big cosmic brownie in 2021.
Who wants to write his eulogy?
You can go.
Okay. He was right.
Oh, I guess I'll turn this on.
He has a bubble and a sticker on his laptop. Stop. And makes me want to die.
TFR will never be the same. I've already said that once. I don't want to say it again. In April of 1997, Terry had called Colm about some recent incidents on the ranch. Colm then got on a plane and flew to Skinwalker Ranch to investigate. Once he arrived, Colm was informed that he had missed one of the strangest acts of paranormal activity that has ever happened on the property by just a few hours.
Convenient.
Dang it.
The fantastic Terry and Gwen Testicle had driven past a corral that contained four of their most prized bulls when Gwen softly spoke that she wouldn't know what she would do if anything was to ever happen to them.
Well, bitch, you don't speak that into the fucking universe because now something's going to happen. Dumbass.
Fucked
hindsight's 2020. I'm sure she knows now.
Dumbass. That's like, man, I would really, really hate for me to get hit by a car. And then you go outside and get hit by a car.
Man, I don't know what I would do if a Big Mac fell in front of me.
I would really hate that. That was a fucking heavy ass Big Mac.
Hello, universe. That was the whole McDonald's. Sound like. So after going out and counting their cows for a bit, they made their way back to the corral that housed the aforementioned bulls. Once they arrived, they noticed that the bulls were missing. Dun, dun, dun. Frantic, Terry got out of his truck and
maybe
started to search.
Maybe they're invisible.
We can't do this.
I'm done.
That is top tier pun. We're done. We're out.
Mic drop. Let me take this mic
here,
out.
Just push it down. Yeah, here we go. Mic drop.
Drop it a few times. That was really good. Just
fucking.
Now the laughter
you're
comes.
You're welcome.
It's kind of like 21 Jump Street where it's in four stages when you're high. Yeah. Now the laughter comes.
Well, now this podcast can just go away because it's never going to get better than that. So
the bulls.
Sorry. I've literally ruined this for you guys. I'm so sorry.
The bulls were invisible.
You just can't be on my level. It's just.
We almost made it 2 years.
Ha 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 ha.
So,
you're welcome.
After scouring the grounds for tracks but finding nothing, Terry finally made his way over to a trailer that had been locked and not opened in years. As he peered inside, he was relieved but shocked. In the small trailer, he found his four, count them four,
marshmallows,
bulls, sandwiched together, standing.
Are you hungry now? You said
absolutely,
the word sandwich.
I'm salivating a bit, standing absolutely still and in somewhat of a daze. They were barely conscious and responsive. Terry then called for Gwen, meanwhile banging on the trailer to awaken the bulls out of some distant state of mind. Once the bulls seemed to regain full consciousness, they thrashed about, destroying the inside of the trailer and finally breaking free, tearing down the trailer that stood there just moments ago. Albeit worked up and perhaps scared, the bulls were unharmed and eventually went back to normal bull activities, I guess. Once this news had broke to Colm's attention, he and some fellow NID scientists conducted an investigation. Everything seemed normal besides the destroyed trailer at first, but then once Colm pulled out his handy-dandy magnetic field detector, he found that the metal bars of the corral had been magnetized. It was especially magnetic around the trailer, and there was absolutely no explanation as to why. However, over the course of 2 days, the corral, along with the trailer, slowly demagnetized. Science. Fucking ooky spooky, bro.
It is very much like one of the weirder cases to happen at Skinwalker, in my opinion. Especially the fact that they're in a locked trailer sandwiched together, because you're not going to get four massive bulls to cooperate to get into a small container like that.
Yeah, and to just be kind of
comatose in a way.
Yeah, comatose. Yeah, just standing there, all four of them, not doing a damn thing, just not barely breathing like they're dead, but just
hypnotized, basically.
Yeah, exactly, like they were hypnotized. I don't know. It's very weird. I mean, if you were to go to Google and just type in like the strangest stories on Skinwalker Ranch, this would definitely be one of them. So after that incident, there were even some incidents with magnetism in the following days. One event being Gwen herself seemed magnetized.
What? She got the COVID vaccine.
Woo! She's a 5G tower. People were literally saying
it made their arms magnetic. Like they could like put metal on their arm where they got the shot. You know what?
I did hear that. I'm
kind of salty. I never tried that. Like, me too. When I had it, I was.
Let's all go get it again.
Okay.
It's literally just people putting like magnets on like their sticky skin.
But no, a girl put baby powder on and then magnet. And put it on her.
Yeah, I watched so other people do it and it didn't. So it's just the fake bullshit.
Well, I wanted to be.
No.
I wanted to be magnetic.
I know. Magneto, baby.
I could put like my reminders there. Be like, oh, grocery.
I could be Magneto and she could be Magneta.
Neato.
Thalvingrot. Fucking God. It's a God. So yeah, she wasn't necessarily just walking through the house and all of a sudden just fucking stuck to the wall or anything.
To the fridge.
But
oh, you'd be so happy if you were stuck to the fridge.
They all got, I think.
You're like, sweet, guess I'm stuck here. Yay! Darn, can't go to work.
I wonder if
stuck to the fridge. Anyway.
You know, probably the strangest phenomenon to possibly occur in this house is to go an episode without having some sort of fat / food / sustenance related
I'm
joke.
I'm sorry,
commit.
It's just your lifestyle.
Yeah,
that's
not
who
to mention
you
you're the one who brings up the food half the time.
Yeah. We just go along with the show.
Hey, I just said, hey, if hey, you as don't, four horses,
if you
say hello.
If you don't like it, don't open the door.
Yeah, the fridge door. You better shut it before the alarm goes off.
There, I disappeared. I'm out of here. Fuck this. I said a girl was fucking magnetized and becoming a superhero, and she goes, you'd be magnetized to the fridge door. I'm just like, God damn it.
I don't sound like that.
I thought but it was funny.
Thank you.
I'm sure that, from what I read, that it wasn't like she was having things like stuck to her or she was stuck to things. It was they were in the trailer and some anomalous events were going on and they brought out the magnetic field detector again and pointing to her was just off the fucking charts. And they were like, what the hell? So then she went outside of the trailer and then it was like,
did that affect her
just,
health?
And it
or
just
anything?
Died. She seems fine. I don't know what the fuck she's doing this day, but doesn't sound like it had any effect on her whatsoever.
That's good.
And then after all that, next on this list came the night of August 25th. Which would absolutely baffle two NID scientists. They were sitting up high on a bluff looking over Skinwalker Ranch. One of the scientists had meditated beforehand, assuming, just like the gentleman that had the predator creature attack him, that meditating would cause a disturbance, would provoke whatever this phenomenon was. So they were out there till about 2:30 a.m. and nothing was happening. So they started to break down all their equipment and pack up. Suddenly, One of the investigators noticed a faint yellow light about 150 feet below them on the property. As they watched, the light began to grow in size. One scientist started to unpack the infrared camera while the other grabbed the night vision binoculars. The scientist with the camera noticed something. He said it was seemingly turning into a tunnel, so it seemed to be an orange structure.
Like the sky butthole?
Like the sky butthole. The light kept growing in size until the scientist watching the event unfold through the same camera noticed something. Once the tunnel reached a height of what looked to be about 2 to 3 feet, he then noticed a 6-foot-tall, all-black creature with no face crawl out of the hole on its hands and knees, slowly stand up, and then walk off through the trees on the property.
How do you know he was 6 feet tall?
I don't know. I'm not a mid scientist. I don't know.
That's kind of fucked up.
I mean, you can judge distance and then judge height based off of that.
I can't.
Jesus fuck, it's no face from fucking Spirited Away.
Now that would be terrifying.
That would be really creepy. Oh
god, with its giant ass mouth.
Yeah, ew. Ew.
So as the scientist described what he was seeing, he was seeing this tunnel. He was screaming. He's like, oh my god, it's a tunnel. Oh my god, something's coming out of it. Oh my god, it's running through the woods. The guy with binoculars never could see anything. It seemed like it was only appearing in infrared. At least the creature was. Because they both saw the light appearing down there. Mm-hmm. But the creature was like only on the infrared spectrum. After that creature had disappeared into the woods, they just simply watched the faint yellow light, the portal, just softly close. And then, what did it do? Can anyone guess? It fucking disappeared. It was gone. I swear my disappearing noise changes every time I do it now. But I like that one.
Would you try and run into the tunnel before it went away?
Oh, hell yeah.
What if you go like halfway through?
Goodbye and then, kiss, like, an evil stare, and, then, like, and I'd be out.
The top half of you made it, but the second half of you is still stuck on.
Well, the top half is a lot better than my bottom half, so that's okay. You can vouch for that, right?
Never be able to poop again.
Oh, shit. No pun intended.
No shit.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. No.
No shit.
But yeah, the sky butthole gave birth
to a ground butthole, which then gave birth to a black thing.
What the hell? No, it gave birth to Bigfoot.
It's an adolescent Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Prepubescent.
The reports differ. I mean, I've heard.
He just ran away from home. He's like, I got a stupid house.
He has to grow at some point. I mean.
No, they are literally just birthed at 8 feet tall. That poor
Holy
woman.
Holy shit, yeah. Oh, God, that poor woman, yeah. No, I've heard 10 feet tall for Bigfoot.
Oh, really?
10 feet tall.
It ranges from like everything from like 6 foot to like 10 foot. I think like there's even been some cases that are like 12 foot. I'm just like, fuck.
Brown hair, gray hair, white hair, black hair. One of the strangest, if not the strangest incident to ever happen on the ranch involved six cameras. Six cameras that the NIDS team had installed to surveillance one of the most active spots on the ranch for the particular area was described by Terry as one of the locations where most of the activity had taken place, like the orange structures, the orbs, the cattle mutilations.
I'll mutilate you, Cal.
I don't even know what the fuck that means. Go ahead, explain. Does it deal with gaping?
Moo.
Mutilate.
Motherfucker! Stop!
Cattle mutilations.
So, they were sure that the cameras would catch whatever is going on at Skinwalker Ranch. Now, after a little over a year's time and catching absolutely nothing on the film, like seeing something just out of frame.
That's so annoying.
They decided to switch things up a little. Their bright idea was to take these cameras and turn them to where they would be facing another camera. This way, each camera would be able to document what's happening to a fellow camera at all times, whether it be something happening right at it, no, above it, below it, to the left, to the right, they would be
Take
able
it
to
back
see
now,
it.
Y'all.
I can appreciate this like mindset.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this seems incredibly plausible to me. But what Terry and the NIDS scientists experienced in July of 1998 was not what they expected at all. So one day, Terry noticed that three of the cameras had stopped recording. So what do you think Terry did?
Looked at the other camera's footage.
He ran into the nearby porta potty. He threw on his tights, his mask, his cape, and became Terry Testicle.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's just my interpretation. And then he went out there to fight his adversary, which was the Skinwalker Ranch. His go-nadversary.
You're trying too hard.
He went out to investigate, and what he found was incredibly perplexing. Terry found that the wiring from three of the cameras had been completely ripped out. And upon later examination, it seemed to be methodical. It seemed to be well thought out. Part of the wiring was even in the ground that was pulled out. And some of the wiring that was exposed was covered by duct tape, maybe electrical tape. I think I hear duct tape, but I'm not sure why it wouldn't just be electrical tape. But even that was just cleanly sliced, it seemed.
Did they see what happened on the other cameras?
Well,
I want to know.
After reviewing the footage of the cameras, they found that all three cameras simultaneously stopped recording at 8:30 p.m. the previous night. And nothing was caught on the footage up until that point. However, they remembered, hey, we have other cameras pointing at them. Let's review those. So they did. And upon reviewing that footage, nothing was captured either. The cameras were there and recording, and then 8:30 p.m. came and went, and all they noticed was the red lights in the cameras just going off.
That's annoying.
But they and I think some of these cameras were like 200 feet away from each other. It wasn't like one's looking at Josh and Josh is looking at you and you're looking at me.
Like we're in a standoff.
Exactly. It wasn't that. It's a standoff where the radius is 200-300 feet. But they didn't catch a damn thing.
Darn it.
Which just shows that this entity, this collective, whatever the hell it is.
So elusive.
It's always one step ahead. Mm-hmm. It knows how to get around anything you throw at it. God, I know we said it before, but I could not imagine how frustrating this had to have been.
Yeah, especially for like being there so long.
So long.
Yeah, just researching and all that money just to.
Exactly. That's my next point. Robert Bigelow. I mean, this is, I think, about the time, maybe it was, I don't know, a year or so prior, but he's kind of like, all right, you know, what are you guys doing? I'm letting you use anything I have, money, resources, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And you guys still have nothing to show for it. And they're just kind of like, I don't know, dude.
Well, this is also why a lot of people question, if what's going on in Skinwalker Ranch is actually real. But at the same time, when you have people there for 8 years investigating, they have to be encountering something for them to stay there.
Yeah, you would think.
I know I sure as shit wouldn't stay there for more than a year. If I was to investigate an area and not encounter shit for like even 6 months, I'd be like, all right, there's nothing here. I'm fucking out.
Well, how about this? If you were brought on by somebody, someone reputable, whoever that may be, gave you resources, I want you to stay at this place for 6 months. And if you catch anything, if you document, or if it seems to be paranormal enough for you to stay longer, I will extend that stay. Say the only thing you think you saw was like a weird flash of light in a room, across the hallway from you or so. That's the only thing you saw within that first 6 months. Would that be enough to keep you there?
No.
No? Oh, man. I don't know about myself.
A flash of light.
A flash of light. And obviously, you would try to debunk it. You look at the window, see if there was a car that drove by and say no cars there. Say you can't explain it. You try to debunk it. You couldn't explain it. There's a weird, just say like right now, looking into my bathroom back over there. Say you just kind of saw like a whew, kind of flash of light. But there's no reason that you can come up with of why that happened within 6 months of staying at this place. Would you extend that stay?
No. And I mean, I can kind of use personal experience in that case. I mean, like when I've told the story about going to Gettysburg and encountering the phantom smell, we've tried to walk around the battlefield and find it again, but we couldn't. And I mean, we, instead of staying for being like, you know what, we're staying here until we encounter it again. I mean, we left within like an hour. So
what about you, Cassandra?
No,
wouldn't stay at all.
No, I'd be bored.
Be bored? Well, yeah, you would be bored within like 3 hours.
So I'd want to leave.
I was going to say, just using your example, like to me, a flash of light, like your eyes can play tricks. I mean,
maybe a light bulb blew.
Maybe. Your eyes, like especially in the dark, like there will be times like you can see like white flashes and shit like that. I mean, it could easily have been like
if your eyes are closed, yeah. I mean, you can kind of see colors and stuff just in your eyelids. So
now, still an incident within a 6 month period, still one incident. But say you think you saw an apparition move across the hallway.
No, I'd be out of there faster because I'd be scared.
Now, something that more prominent of being paranormal activity, would that make you stay? Still 6 months, still one time, but you see an apparition.
If I saw an apparition, maybe.
Maybe, okay.
So, like, well, I mean, like I said, like, they're definitely had to have been encountering something to be willing to stick around. And
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they were just trying to still make a paycheck and just kind of sitting there, you know, oh, this is kind of weird. Oh, this is weird. I mean, again, they can never document anything. So it's literally just experiences. But I found the one podcast I referred to earlier, UFO Declassified with Erica Lukes, I believe was her name. She has Chris Marks on there, who came out as a NID scientist who was on Skinwalker Ranch. And he was talking about, you know, there's like 800 pages of reports from himself included and other NID scientists. And it shows that, yes, the phenomena is technically non-repeated, but it seems to only occur at certain areas. Like Homestead 2 would have the disembodied voices or the weird magnetic readings and such like that. Compass is going wild. Homestead 1 only would have like the ghostly apparitions or like something else. Like the corral would have like the weird creatures only seen, or like the big wolves were only seen at like the south tree line. It's like apparently the phenomena sort of does repeat, not nearly often enough, but it's only in certain areas of it.
Yeah.
But he says, based on his findings, that he believes that there is paranormal activity out there in the world, but Skinwalker Ranch is not it. He believes the whole do not dig is just simply oil rights.
That I definitely do believe.
Yeah, that seems very plausible enough. Watching the show, granted it's a reality show, so I take absolutely none of it with the grain of, or all of the grain of salt. they were trying, like, there was this big hole and they fucking filled like 20,000 gallons of water into it and it just disappeared. They have no idea where it went. They got this big, like, some sort of digger, and it went down to like 80 feet and it just started filling with water. And so they had this idea, what if there is like some big bank of water, some underground stream or something flowing through here? Because a lot of water flowing at a decent speed could like charge, you know, electricity, and that maybe that can affect with certain things here and there. That's how like the ground seems to be, you know, affecting phones or affecting equipment and such like that. Drones just dying out of midair and whatnot. So there's that to think about too. It might not be technically paranormal. It's just, I don't know, something very earthly, something not found yet.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, they want to blame everything on swamp gas.
Yeah, but even now, Mr. Hynek was like, you know, I feel bad for Sanak because I really don't think it was swamp gas. So I got to give him credit there. At least he came back on his statement, though.
Yeah, but people still like to blame things on swamp gas. Or ball lightning or owls.
I wouldn't doubt it if there was some incidents of owls. Like the explanation would be owls.
What about three possums and a trench coat?
without a doubt. That is the explanation.
They're
for
the culprit.
Everything. Yes.
That's really like one of the few things that is missing at Skinwalker Ranch is black-eyed children encounters.
Yeah, I mean, you got cryptids, you got UFOs, ghosts, I mean, portals. Yeah, you got everything except black-eyed children, which, I mean, you can chalk them up to be cryptids or ghosts, whatnot, but they sort of stand alone. More, I guess, demonic almost.
Yeah.
I feel like more people think they're demonic, if you want to put them in a category.
Definitely one of the creepiest.
So after that incident with the cameras, the paranormal activity seemed to start to die down. All the way up until Colm Kelleher's departure from NIDS in 2004. And that marks their 8-year venture they were there for, from 96 to 2004. And nothing had really happened besides a few minor incidents. Maybe you saw an orb here or there, heard weird disembodied voices. This, I think, Josh, you mentioned in part one about hearing strange voices, and they seemed up above them, strange language. That was also something that the NIDS teams investigated, but they still, you know, could not capture, and they could not document it themselves. That is basically the tale of Skinwalker Ranch. That is its whole lifespan, even though I'm going to get a little more into some government programs and how one of them slightly does kind of affect Skinwalker Ranch, even though most of this program is still not talked about. We're not entirely sure. So after their end of pursuit of Fortean knowledge, NIDS had kind of broken up. They did all that they could there, and they were just simply done with it. But kind of like a super group of musicians when they all get together, a bunch of them from NIDS and even like some ex-military personnel, and I think maybe even other organizations, MUFON and such, they kind of evolved and they created a new entity, and NIDS became BASS, B-A-A-S-S, Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies. And it was not a privately operated organization anymore like NIDS was, but it did, you know, it sought after the same goal. So Robert Bigelow, being a man of many connections, seemed to acquire even more because of BASS, and some of these new connections had ties with the U.S. government. So Bigelow was born and raised and started his, you know, budget in suites of America empire in Las Vegas, Nevada. And who else is from Nevada? Harry Reid. So Harry Reid is a retired American attorney and politician who served as a United States Senator from Nevada from 1987 to 2017. And for 8 of those years, 2007 to 2015, he was a Senate Majority Leader. He was a big name. And I'm not sure if you guys remember or not, but from UFO Roundtable, our TFR News episode, I mentioned how Harry Reid came forward with a letter describing some of the inner workings of ATIP, the program that was disclosed in 2017. The New York Times broke this big article like, hey, guess what? From 2007 to 2012, for as far as we know, maybe longer, the United States had this black, you know, program of investigating UFOs no one ever knew about until we broke it. But Harry Reid talks about his involvement with ATIP, all right? And he, on that letter, talked about how Lou Elizondo was made the, I believe, director of that said program. But Harry Reid, he largely funded ATIP. Now, what connection do we have with Robert Bigelow and Harry Reid besides, you know, the state and interest in UFOs? Well, Harry Reid knows George Knapp. George Knapp being co-author of Hunt for the Skinwalker. Harry Reid has read the book, Hunt for the Skinwalker. George Knapp knows Robert Bigelow. So they all intertwine and know each other. Harry Reid ran a re-election campaign, and Bigelow decided to be a part of that. And he donated $10,000, to which opened doors for him in becoming associated with some of the inner workings of the government, to put it vaguely. So moving up to when ATIP was exposed in December of 2017, we now know that out of the $600 billion budget for the annual Defense Department for 2017, $22 million of that went to ATIP. But most of that money, most of that $22 million went to ATIP, but went right to a very wealthy entrepreneur's hands. Mm-hmm. And who is that entrepreneur? Robert Bigelow and his company, BASS. I even found a file from the U.S. Department of Transportation that talks about how Section 8, Unidentified Flying Object UFO Reports, persons wanting to report UFO/unexplained phenomena activity should contact a UFO/unexplained phenomena reporting data collection center, such as Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies. BASS, right there, has a number and has an email. So now that BASS is in with the government, in with Harry Reid, who wants ATIP to be funded and search for UFOs, Harry Reid brings in Bigelow with BASS and says, you know what, you can work on this program and vice versa. So furthermore, there are documents that have also been released that are from Harry Reid himself, writing to, at the time of June 24th, 2009 of the document, Secretary William Lynn III, Deputy Secretary of Defense, and explains what ATIP wants to do and what he thinks it needs in order to achieve it. And he also wants better security for it. On the last page, there are some interesting things to note. It mentions that ATIP is the quote-unquote unclassified nickname, and that it is to be believed as another name that coincides with ATIP more times than what you'd like to consider as a coincidence, and that is AWSAP, Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Application Program. And a reason for this nickname, or simple just change to the name, to my understanding, is the reason simply for what that acronym seems to show what the program wants to do. So you have one that's like, oh, we can identify what these quote unquote threats are, and another one that wants to find out what these threats are and perhaps make advanced airspace weapons. And from what I literally can tell is they would rather go with the AWSAP name than ATIP to get their government funding. Because the government, obviously, especially the Department of Defense, is totally fine with their weapons. So that's how they believe that they got their money. It just showcases what our defense department's heart is.
We all know that. It's no surprise.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to connect some dots here. So that's why we believe that AWSAP is the true name for the program. Even though we still don't know too much about it or ATIP. But once 2012 came along and they had nothing to really show for it except, I don't know, man, we just got this weird video. It's kind of a weird black dot in the sky. What do you think? And they had no advanced aerospace weapons for it. The government stopped funding the program. They were essentially abandoned. And Luis Elizondo, who I mentioned was the director of that program, had come out at that time.
Hey, they also wanted to disband the X-Files, and then they found aliens. So.
See, they tried to disband it, and now look where we're at. UFO report that did technically drop, and all it basically said is that the U.S. has no idea what these are.
Yeah.
But Luis Elizondo had spoken out about how Navy and CIA officials had cometh and goeth after the government had pulled out. And God damn it. I know one of the CIA's names is like Nataski or something like that, but I don't have a first name for it. But apparently that is a name that is associated with a CIA official that has gone in some sort of relation of Bass and AWSAP and whatnot. Luis Elizondo, after this, had retired. And he retired because he was so tired of the UFO phenomena not being taken seriously. Seeing these as possible threats, and I can understand that. I mean, we seem to see craft out there and have documented craft that can outmaneuver our best pilots in every which way, every shape, form, doesn't matter. I mean, every maneuver, they're faster than us. They can go left, right, up, down, much more, just better than us, simply put, and I can't find any better words than that. So I can see this as a possible threat. Have they ever posed a threat? Have they ever killed anyone or shot down a pile or anything like that? No. I mean, that we know of, that the public knows of. But I can agree with Louise thinking that this needs to be taken much more seriously. And certainly back in 2012, when he retired, he thought it even more than he does now in 2021. You know, he wants it to be taken seriously, and he wants government citizen transparency. Because we have a right to know. I believe we have a right to know.
Yeah.
I don't need to know where you store all your nuclear missiles or how or what you do with them and yada, yada. I just want to know what's in our skies and what we're dealing with.
We have a right to know, but would society be able to handle it? I vote no.
Probably not.
I mean, we saw how that went with...
That's if it's aliens.
With a fucking, like, 36-hour shutdown of a fucking pipeline for, like, not even 36 hours. God, they were filling gas with... They're putting gas in like anything they could, like a bunch of.
Yeah, it's weird to me. I have this like
I just can't handle
idea it. That sure people would not be able to handle it; they would freak out. But I also feel like it would be so just astronomically like overwhelming to them that they wouldn't even care. Kind of like COVID hit and people thought I need paper towels, toilet paper. So they go get toilet paper. You know, the pipeline shuts down. It's like, I need gas because I got to get to work. Sure. If you find out there's aliens, still, I think people freak out. But it's like, well, that doesn't affect my gas. Well, that doesn't affect my toilet paper.
But you're going to have what all the religious nuts talking about end times and all this other bullshit. And it's just not going to go over well. I mean,
yeah, that's who I would be afraid of most.
Your grandmother. Presence of aliens, I feel like, would kind of supersede some of their beliefs prophecies on the universe.
They would just say it's... The gods coming down.
Yeah, probably. But I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, this was written in Ezekiel.
You cannot undermine a lot of their beliefs or they will, like, literally lose their shit. Especially people whose, like, whole personality and life is, like, built upon their religion. Like, without it, they are nobody. And I feel like those are the people that would kind of lose their
shit. I am very curious. If anyone out there listening is, hardcore religious and believes that... the appearance of, I mean, you don't even have to be hardcore religious, but if you believe that the acknowledgement and appearance of extraterrestrials on Earth would impact your religion in some way, shape, or form, email us at thefarthestreachespodcast@gmail.com because I am genuinely interested in knowing how you think it would it affect it.
Like, my grandmother literally refuses to believe that dinosaurs ever existed.
Yeah, I know.
So she probably would refuse to believe that an alien is real, even if it knocked on her fucking door.
So she'd be unaffected. She'd just be like, bleh.
She would tell you it's not. She also believes there's no W in the word sword because you can't hear it. So I'm just saying.
How did she pass the fourth grade?
That was a long time ago. And it was a different. I told you we are nothing but redneck white trash. I'll
say sword has always had a W.
Not in her world.
Oh,
boy.
So,
love you, Grandma. You're the best.
On this same document that talks about OSAP and ATIP about, there's one more thing I want to note. And on the final page of that document is one of the persons that is acknowledged to be in with this program and is designated as an outside contractor for the program. And that gentleman is Hal Puthoff. And I'm sure neither of you know who Hal Puthoff is, but he mentions that he worked on the Stargate project. So the Stargate project investigated potential for psychic phenomena in military and domestic intelligence applications, like remote viewing, where they'd sit you down in this like blank room and put some fucking glasses and helmet on you and try to get you to describe a place that's fucking a million miles over there. And so they would know what the inside of a building, some sort of complex that looks like that they're going to fucking bomb in a day so they can go in there and retrieve intelligence and such.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So the people described in these documents and that seemed to be connected.
I remember something about, maybe not specifically that, but I remember not the organization, but I just remember there being like a report basically where it was, you know, quote unquote, confirmed that like astral projection was a thing. That might be related.
That might be Stargate.
But that's all I remember. It was like the reports coming out basically saying like, oh, the, you know, proving that our world is merely a holograph or whatever it said. But I didn't understand a fucking word of the actual document when I read it. So I
man, you should
close out of that real quick.
Some of the government programs out there are just fucking wild. Like this one, trying to figure out psychic phenomena for military and domestic intelligence. You have, oh God, what's the big one? Why can't I think of it? I mean, MK Ultra, basically, where they try to, Was that the drug inducing ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. They try to drug you and then see some psychic phenomena with that too as well. And reading minds and controlling you.
Season 2 of the OA on Netflix, how like everyone, like a certain thing keeps happening in like tons of people's dreams, and it like everyone's reporting the same dreams, and then just kind of eventually happens in reality. And
yeah.
Like people mass dream something and it's like almost like the future. It just fucks me up.
there's one like project like Midnight Climax where they just gave people a bunch of drugs and like and like send them off into a bordello just to see what would happen.
Oh, fun.
I know. It's fucking insane. And one of my favorite ones, oh God, I have it documented here somewhere. Oh God, what was it? I forget the name of the project. Oh no, what it actually was called was Operation Mincemeat. And what it was like Britain's Royal Marines, I believe, or so. I don't know. They got a hold of a decomposing body, later to be found out on Wikipedia, God, a tramp that died from rat poison. But they got this body, they suited it up to look like some person in the Royal Marines, and it had some briefcase that was like handcuffed to his wrist, and it had documents that looked legit and talked about this invasion off the coast of Spain or something like that. I can't remember. But the Nazi spy network got word of this and like got ready for some invasion over wherever it said it was, but it completely blindsided them. And I don't know, it was some big hoax, some big ruse that they tried to do. It was fucking crazy. It took place during World War II. I don't know. They do the weirdest.
A cardboard box rolled up on the beach.
Look at this giant horse. There's surely no one hiding in there.
Do you hear voices?
Oh, no.
Okay. So Harry Reid, back to him, said in an interview that part of the research effort that was OSAP, ATIP, Bass was included, Hal Puthoff, part of the Stargate project, all fucking in there.
Every time you say Bass, I think of Lance Bass, and I just picture him.
Well, that's good to know.
NSYNC. Lance.
Oh,
Bass.
I know who. Come he on, is. Josh.
He's a well, when he's like, oh, Bass. I just picture like Lance Bass, like hi, just like
he wanted to be an astronaut.
Did he? Did it work?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, Harry Reid says that part of that research effort, the $22 million that went to technically Bass, was in fact for Skinwalker Ranch. There had been, since the NID's departure with Bigelow and Harry Reid and others, there had been plenty of DOD and CIA officials and just military personnel that had stepped foot on that ranch and had tried to investigate it further. And it is led to believe that part of just like what NID's experienced and having no luck in finding any document or any evidence of anything paranormal, the same happened with ATIP and partly the reason why it possibly was shut down. And Bigelow owned Skinwalker Ranch, I think it was at the very beginning of the show, until 2016 when the guy that owns it now, Brandon Fugel, who was Adamantium Holdings, all mysterious guy, who, if you watch the documentary...
Isn't he like blacked out in his voice?
Documentary
changed.
Hunt for the Skinwalker, that's so him. Stupid. That's Brandon Fugel. No, he owns it now, and he is just leading another team. Obviously, you watched the show. To try and investigate what the hell is going on here. So it's been happening ever since NID stepped foot in 96. Holy fuck. I felt that thunder. Oh, God.
I love
this might be our
storm.
Last episode. And so, yeah, it basically Skinwalker Ranch ends right now as just real estate owned by a mogul, Brandon Fugel, and his little team he's got there. And to this day, they're still seemingly finding evidence of odd orbs and weird instrument readings and such. So nothing tremendous has really come out of this. I mean, I find it fascinating that ATIP or ALSAP, however you'd like to put it, did a government program. Part of it went to Skinwalker Ranch to be investigated. So the government literally did have an interest in Skinwalker Ranch. I want to say something weird's going on there. I don't know if it's necessarily like ghosts or cryptids or whatnot. Maybe be like, you know, the show how they found a bunch of running water and that has an electric charge which affects everything on the plant, everything on the property. I don't know. But I do think the place is pretty anomalous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it needs to be funded so much and needs to be researched so much. I don't think it's detrimental to anything. You know, the show caught a helicopter that wasn't on radar and yada, yada, yada. But Mick West, a famous skeptic, he proved that it was just surveying the power lines is what they do. So, yeah, a lot of controversy into Skinwalker Ranch. And I'm sure that it will always have that controversy. It will never disappear. And who knows, perhaps in a few years, Brandon Fugel could get rid of Skinwalker Ranch and some new rich businessman will come in there with a whole brand new team and a whole new way of doing experiments and try to find out what is at the heart of Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, like I said, like when it comes down to like the world of the weird, like Skinwalker Ranch is like the one that I find the most fascinating just because of the amount of shit that's there or supposedly there and the amount of like reports and eyewitness accounts and stuff like that. It's just, it's super interesting.
Yeah. But it's ridiculous that on one hand, you literally have all of this evidence, reports. No, it's almost countless. But on the other hand here, you have one thing and that is no proof. And it immediately, the scale is just flat out even. I mean,
unfortunately, that could be said about 99.9% of the paranormal.
Well, I should say not proof, but I should say no evidence to show for it.
Yeah.
You have reports and you have eyewitness testimony, but you don't have evidence. Because, again, there's a big line between evidence and proof. But I don't know. I think it's a spooky place, but I don't think it is as spooky as people think it is. I don't think it's spooky for the exact reasons that people think it is. I mean, so, Cassandra, what are your thoughts on Skinwalker Ranch? Any and all?
I don't really have an opinion. It's one of those things where I'm kind of like, oh, that's cool. You know, if it's real, then cool. If it's not, then okay. It doesn't, the instances intrigue me, but I will say, if I had the opportunity to go there, I'd probably say no, just to err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
And to avoid the giant spiders.
How credible do you find eyewitness testimony?
Next to none.
Next to none?
Yeah.
Even if I was to say I saw something? I mean, you probably believe me a little bit more, but...
Yeah, because I believe everything you say, and that's why I'm so gullible, and then you make fun of me. He could be like, hey,
she's correct, 100%.
I just high-fived a bear in the driveway, and I'd be like, no way.
Yeah, high-fived a bear in the driveway.
I'm like, cool.
I did that last Tuesday.
It was just the big burly guy with the beard.
Named Bear.
But I trust you, so I always assume you're telling me the truth, and then you violate that trust by lying to me. And you make me feel dumb.
Then my job is done.
Yeah.
What do you think about eyewitness testimony, Josh?
I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I want to believe people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to take their word.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you told me something, I wouldn't sit here and argue and say, like, oh, no, that didn't happen to you. Yeah, but exactly. I'd be like, oh, okay, I believe you believe that happened to you. And I'll just kind of be
okay,
like,
so you guys on the same page that if someone was to come up and tell you a certain encounter or a certain experience they had, that you would think, okay, something happened to this individual that is unexplainable at the moment. Yeah. But I'm not going to say it's ghosts.
Like, oh, aliens are real because my friend one time, although I do believe aliens are real, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to say it's fucking aliens, but I'm not going to say it's a shopping cart with a fucking blanket over it.
Right? Yeah, I mean, they definitely could have encountered something.
Who am I to say what's real and what's not? That's why I feel very just impartial to it all, because I'm just like,
Would it matter how fantastic the story is?
No, like if you see a sky butthole, then you see a sky butthole.
Well, what if they said, so aliens came down last night. Mm-hmm. And they came barging in my room. They woke me up. They dragged me out of bed, and they took me downstairs. We all played Guitar Hero.
I'd be like, show me your high score.
And once I beat all of them on expert, then they all left, giving me the finger on the way out.
Pixar didn't happen.
No, story like
show
that.
Show me your high scores.
Yeah. Like, oh, look, the high score is ALN.
At that point, I would think you were just fucking with me.
I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be so.
I mean, my papo has had some really crazy stories that you even told. And
I told him listener tales. Yeah.
I believe that those things happened to him. I do.
You think a big flaming eyeball was there?
Yeah, he saw it.
Okay. That's
fair. Do I believe a big flaming eyeball will come at me? No, but it came to him, yeah.
What about you, Josh?
I wasn't even alive, so can I say it didn't happen?
Does it ever depend how fantastic the story is to you?
I feel like there's definitely times, like, especially with, like, listening to different shows and stuff, you can kind of, like, there's times where, like, if an encounter seems almost too perfect, it's harder for me to believe. But, again, who am I to say?
Sure.
Well, and sometimes you can just feel, like, how rattled it made the person, or if they truly, because, like, my grandpa's not superstitious. He doesn't believe in that stuff at all.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
And the fact that he thinks it happened to him, I'm like, oh, okay, like, something did happen to you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for instance, like, when I met Travis Walton from the Fire in the Sky case. I mean, I met him at Whorehound two years ago when they had like a big paranormal kind of thing, and like they had like him
pre-COVID.
They had like him, Bob Gimlin, who shot the Gimlin Patterson like Bigfoot film. But like talking to him, and like he was recounting some of like his alleged alien abduction case, and like you could tell, like as he's like telling it, you could kind of see like the fear in his eyes still, and it just like it. Talking to him firsthand,
that's what made
me believe, like, whatever happened to him, he definitely believes happened.
Gotcha.
So it's just like, it's one of those things.
Like my quack of a neighbor down the street that is part of QAnon. If she tries to tell me some shit, I'll just be like, all right, yeah, totally cool. Bye.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
I mean, I don't necessarily want to put anyone off, no matter what the quote unquote paranormal experience or paranormal activity that's happening to them takes place. But yeah, she threw me off at first because I had no idea what was going on when she was giving us our quack down the street, as you put it.
Yeah, she would like talk to us, and then she was like telling us about our past lives, and then she'd just look off into the sky.
She would look off
into
the sky and be like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
and talking to the ascended masters, like Counter Saint Germain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she was like getting, and like I said, I'm not one to normally judge someone's beliefs, but the fact that she was grabbing information about us out of the fucking sky, I'm like, all right, okay, and she told us that we were very Christ-like, and that made me laugh at her. I'm like, I don't think
For the record, me and Cassandra are not Christ-like at all.
Yeah, that immediately makes
our
me go.
Our auras are Christ-like.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't want to put anyone off. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in her mind. I'm not sure how it works. But
the lady at work that said I was doing God's work, and I was like,
bitch, I'm stocking shelves.
Be like, does God go into the bathroom and fucking beat off? I don't think so. But yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys about your perspective on simply just hearing an eyewitness testimony.
I mean, like, when you talk to me, I think you're full of shit.
Yeah.
No, because
he literally is, though. He poops all the time.
Yeah. Well, I asked that because this is all Skinwalker Ranch is, mm-hmm. is eyewitness testimony. Now, if Terry, a gentleman that we had never known before, came up and said, I saw some weird wolf-like creature over there, I can believe that. I mean, I've seen wolves. I've seen them attack animals. It's sure, it sounds earthly, terrestrial. Cool. I saw a weird light in the sky. I'm like, yeah, I mean, well, no, stars, planes, whatever. I can see that there's lights in the skies. But then, no. A fucking orange structure that opened up and then this big black triangle flew out silently and disappeared. I'd be like, maybe. I don't know. And then talking about more of those portals and then big creatures stepping out, I'm like, okay, this is kind of getting freaky. Predator creature coming out screaming the most ungodly sound everyone's ever heard. I'm like, okay, some of these stories are kind of getting up to my limit there, my threshold. I'm not sure how to take it. Nonetheless, we are all on the same page that something has had to happen to you. You know, whether it be physically, mentally, whether you know, optically you actually saw it, or perhaps, you know, emotionally you just felt it. You know, we here at TFR, I would say, I could speak for all of us when we say we would believe that something does happen to you. And we are always here for those stories, those eyewitness testimonies. If you ever want to share any with us, if you ever feel like I would love for one of them to read my story, and perhaps that would encourage others to share their stories as well, because we're all friends here. No, there's no judgment. There's no nothing.
Yeah, well, there's definitely some judgment here.
Oh, is there? No judgment on my part. I'm a cool person.
We mostly just judge you, pointed towards Matt.
Yeah, so send the stories to me, specifically. And yeah, if you'd like to do that, you can hit us up at TFRPodOfficial on Twitter. The farthest reach is on Instagram and Facebook. Your stories would probably be best at the farthest reaches podcast at gmail.com. With all that said, no, if any of you out there have any experiences that you want to send our way, we will be glad to share them. No, we've all had our fair share of stuff here. We're all basically on the same boat here. We all like the same stuff. We all believe in one thing or another. But I would say that this has been the final entry for Skinwalker Ranch Part 3.
Woo, 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 woo. And if anything ever happens there again, we might do
an update.
Yeah, like an update episode or something like that. If anything else comes out with all the new investigations and shows happening out there and all that stuff. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I know, believe it or not, tonight is an episode of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, and
maybe we'll learn more secrets.
Maybe we'll literally see an alien abduct a cow.
Maybe it's like those shows where it's called Finding Nessie, and
they don't find shit.
The entire fucking episode,
like Finding Bigfoot, fuck that show.
Finding Bigfoot, it's been on for like 17 seasons. Yeah. Well, I am going to project sign off.
Yes.
What about you, Josh? What are you going to do?
I'm just going to turn my mic off and walk away.
What about you, Cassandra? What are you going to do?
Go play Beat Saber.
Exciting. All right, everyone. Have a great day out there. Stay safe. Stay spooky. Stay healthy. Stay aware of your surroundings in case anything paranormal comes your way. And you will hear from us again soon. Oh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. We here at the Farthest Reaches want to say thank you, because you, the listeners, make all of this possible. Please share our podcast with your friends, your family, or total strangers. You can find and connect with us on Facebook at the Farthest Reaches Podcast, Instagram at the Farthest Reaches, or Twitter at TFR Pod Official. There we will be posting all sorts of strange stuff and updates for upcoming episodes and whatever else we get ourselves into.
If you would like to share a personal story by chance, then you can reach us at our email, thefarthestreachespodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, and maybe we will even tell your story to the world. In the meantime, though, explore the elusive. Seek the knowledge of the obscure, and together, we can translate this strange language of reality into something that we can understand. With that said, thanks for tuning in.